He didn't just come to die for us and to give us forgiveness of sins. He gave us a complete inheritance. I saw it so clearly there. There's such an amazing package of provision in everything that Jesus came with. And I'm just wondering why most people don't walk in it or have received it. Yeah, it's just blown me away. You know, if we're going to walk in the way God wants us to, and I don't know whether I'm going to even share what I've pre-prepared, but honestly, I think we need to up our level of expectancy and faith in the Lord. We really do. I will touch on some of it, but I was really contemplating on what it is over the last couple of weeks, and especially after listening to Rake speaking on covenant last week, and what an amazing amount of depth there is in that covenant that God made available to us. To when you look at a covenant, who instigated the covenant? Where's it come from? Usually when there's a promise, there's a two-party scenario where they agree on something. But a covenant is not like that. It's fully poured out by one person from one side and saying, here it is. Do you want it? And understanding covenant is really important. Otherwise, we don't walk in it. We really don't, do we? That's just such an amazing picture of God's love. He instigated it because he said that in John 3:16, everyone can quote it, for God so loved the world that he just gave. And come along and say, look, I've got a deal for you. What about we sign up or make some sort of a term? No. The whole thing was a giving scenario. And looking at it, I'm saying, Lord, what is it that we're missing, that we're lacking? And even this morning in just praying, I just got caught in the spirit praying this morning. And as I was, I could feel God groaning. I didn't know what it was. I had no idea. And then I saw like a vision of heaven where God's got this intense, unlimited supply of his spirit. And wanting to pour it out, and he's looking for the thirsty and the hungry, looking for those that are. And the cry of God's heart was, "Where are the thirsty? Where are the thirsty?" And it broke my heart. And I started just praying, God, you know, because Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst; they shall be filled." And God's wanting to pour out his spirit and wanting to pour out on this land and to pour out over the nations. And he's looking for the thirsty. And my heart was just like, God, what is it? Aren't your people thirsty? No, they're not. They're not. They've got some form of satisfaction in what they're doing and where they're at. They're not thirsty. Lord, is the world thirsty? No, the world has no idea because the church isn't thirsty. Well, what is it then? And over the last couple of weeks, and this is completely off track, and even though I'm thinking of the amazing goodness of God and how he wants us to be fruitful in everything and how he wants to pour out his spirit and how he wants us to be empowered as his ambassadors, everything that God sort of charged me with wasn't in the sense of what's yet to come, but it's restrained for some reason. And I'm like, okay, God, what is it? And the few things that God really challenged me on in my own life and over the last couple of weeks in prayer, I'm not impressed with your eloquent prayers. What are you talking about, Lord? Why don't you just talk to me? Why does it have to be so intense in some ways. You know? And I'm like, okay, God, I don't want to try and impress you with flowery words or speeches or whatever. I just want to share with you and bear my heart. But there are times we get caught up in some sort of rhetoric that tends to get things coming out wrong. I don't know what it is, but it's like that. I'm not impressed. It doesn't impress me. I'm not impressed with your abilities. I'm not impressed with your talents. I'm not impressed with anything that is motivated by your religious creeds, deeds, or actions. And I said, well, Lord, what is it that impresses you or motivates you the most? And the things that really came to me strongly was firstly and foremostly trust and faith. Faith is really strong because the Bible says to us, and this is part and parcel of where I was going today, but without faith it is impossible to please God. So I started thinking on faith, and over the years there's been so much said about faith and how, like, there's been the faith movement, which has been really demanding, commanding, blab it, grab it, and all sorts of extremes got into it and all sorts of other things that took it to almost like a selfish motivated thing. And I said, well, Lord, that's not really the faith that you've put in place, is it? So if I'm going to walk in faith, and it's going to be a faith that pleases you, Lord, I need to know what your heart is. And it came back to me several times over my life where people have said to me, oh, yeah, I'm in the faith. And they've put it into a box that it's the Christian format of some sort. And I remember someone saying to me once a while back, well, you've just got to be in the faith. But they're putting the faith as the Christian context belief of churches. So if you believe in God and you go to church and you do this and you do everything right, you're in the faith. And God's going, that's not that. And the scripture that says, because I've been really struggling with areas of using God's name and seeing his power manifested. And I really want to see that in action, the way it did in the book of Acts and other ways, you know? And I know God's taken me a long way in it. But faith works by
hearing.
No, faith comes by hearing. Faith works by love. Love. And I'm like, okay, God, if that's the sort of thing that has to happen, you know, you told us to love one another and that sort of thing, but the love of God was also imparted to us through the Holy Ghost. Not so that we could just feel loved, but that we could walk in love and be an expression of love. And I see so much of it starting to take effect in places. Kerry sent me a video this week of Dan Moller. And I've seen Dan's life as an expression of love everywhere he goes. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm not Dan Moller. But what does Ken Lefborg have to do to be an expression in a way that you want to express through me? And he's got a personality and he's got a demeanor about him that is so, you know, easygoing, attractive. I'm not that easygoing, attractive, you know what I mean? I'm a little more, I don't know, more serious in some ways. But I'm saying, okay, God, here's a vessel here that needs to express the way you want to be expressed through me. And so, God, where's the blockage? Where's the hindrance? Are you releasing the love? Not always. I have my brick walls in places sometimes, or my resistance barriers up, and I'm like, Lord, how do I get rid of that? And there are things in my life that God brought up that sort of talked about experiences and showed where I'd actually put up self-preservation mechanisms that were restricting his love flowing. And it's he said, why do you need that? I'm like, Lord, do I? I didn't think I'd needed it much. No, you still haven't. And I'm like, well, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I need to break those things down. And it came back to having a certain type of mindset or self-preservation mode or whatever it may be that I've built there. And the scripture was that came to me was clearly casting down imagination. Some of those things are just an imagination. You don't need them. They're a figment of your own imagination. And they're there because you're trying to protect yourself from what had happened at some stage in your life and you don't want it to happen again. And so it's you instead of me in your life, or making that part of your life secure. Whoa. I don't know whether God talks to anyone else like this or whatever, but to me, if we're open before him and we talk to him intimately about things and we start to present to him our innermost feelings and depths and the heart's cry that we have, are we ready for the answer? I really was blown away. And I said, Lord, okay, if I'm to walk in the covenant that you've made available and provided for us in. And when Anthony read that thing out of in the scriptures this morning at communion, and it talked about what God had done and how we were children, but we're children under a sealed or a protective capacity or even enslaved capacity. Even in a household where the father's goods are all there, they're not ours while we're still in that child state. But Jesus came to break us out of that. And even though we put ourselves down as children of God, or I'm a child of God, sometimes I think that gives us a mindset of not growing up fully into the covenant walk and life that he's provided for us. And the Bible encourages us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us, as many as be mature, be thus minded. Mature thinking, mature mindedness. And I'm like, okay, God, I've done that in so many areas, in so many ways, and in so many aspects. The mature thinking and the mature mindedness and strong meat belongs to those who are full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to know what's right and what's wrong, when to move, when not to move, when to do, when not to do, when to speak, when not to speak. That's probably one of the hardest things I've got. I have a blow my mouth. And you know, you just, unfortunately, the brain's not in gear half the time. Shh. And I need to guard that. And that's part of your heart, because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I don't know if you're aware of that, but a dirty mouth will show me a dirty heart. I had a guy came around this week at work, and he was obviously a Muslim guy, and he's around trying to sell his thing, and every second word was a blasphemous word. And I said, look, you've been dealing with my wife, and I said, I don't appreciate your language. I said, I don't want to deal with you. I said, that's not the sort of person. I said, if you've got that sort of a mouth, you've got that sort of a heart, so therefore I can't trust anything you're telling me. You know, that's where we got to be at. You know? And, I said, I shouldn't talk like that. I said, no, of course you shouldn't talk like that. But I said, you're out there being a representative of a company. Out here, I'm not impressed at all. I'd rather pay twice the price from someone else that I know is
true and pure.
Oh, but we're the cheapest. I don't care. I don't care. The cheapest is not going to be a governing factor in this instant. You know? It's really amazing. And we have to recognize sometimes that we may not have a froward mouth or a foul mouth like a lot of people in the world have, but do we have a mouth that is guarded because of what's in our heart? Or is our heart, from the abundance of our heart, not really where it should be so that our mouth is out of control? Yeah, it's such a fine line scenario sometimes, but it can be quite clear when we allow the Spirit of God to begin to deal with and change. And if we all are, as what the Lord says, with open face, in other words, there's nothing hidden. We are not holding back. We're not trying to shield off. We're not trying to paint a picture that is a facade of an unrealistic expectation or who we are. But we're all with open face. God, we can't hide it from God anyway. How stupid are we when we try to come to God and talk to Him about things and He's like, give me a break. I saw it when it happened. I know what you're talking about. I've got more. I'm acquainted with all your ways. Why don't you just let loose? We come before Him with nothing hidden. I've got nothing to prove. I've got nothing to gain. I've got nothing to paint a picture to Him with that'll impress Him. He wants my complete loyalty, my trust, my obedience, my faith, and love. And in those aspects, I look at Jesus, and the scripture that I was going to finish up with today was 1 John 2:6. 17 words that probably have had an impact on my life and still do every time I read them. He that says he abides in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. And Jesus was the complete package of God's provision to the world. And if we say we abide in Him, the word ought has the denotes the greatest obligation. Ourselves also so to walk in the closest conformity in all character and in all conduct and in all mannerisms and in all persuasion and in all presentation, also so to walk even as He walked. And I look at the way He walked and I say, okay, God, if You want Your church to be effective, and if I'm to be a part of that effective church, Lord, these aspects of how Jesus walked came to me as I was meditating on those scriptures. The first thing was He was in communion constantly with His Father. He walked in obedience. He says, I came not to do My will, but the will of My Father which has sent Me. You know? He walked in love and compassion towards those that were lost. He really did. And He demonstrated what faith really was, because He put Himself on the line fully for His Father. And I'm like, okay, God, we've got a long way to go, but we're on the way. We're on the journey. We're on the track. And I just really believe that if we're going to stand in faith and we're going to not just walk in the faith, but have faith, you know, I think the scripture literally translated where it says have faith in God, it's have the faith of God more likely, and that fully trusting, fully believing, fully expecting. And the Bible in faith gives us the capacity under the new covenant provision to understand what God has done for us, what He has given us, what we are walking in, what we have been provided with, and not in the sense of the extreme aspects of, quote, the faith movement where everything was, you know, I believe God wants me to have a new chair and I claim that chair, you know, all that sort of thing. But in the sense of faith where we stand firmly on His word, fully grounded and firmly strong. And I found in my own life, I've had to do that over and over and over again. And you find it over the last little bit, you get so caught up with life and what's going on. Lack and I were talking during the week. We need reminding. We need recharging in that area. We need rekindling of that flame to ensure that that's held up, because we would never, ever once accept anything that wasn't the provision of God without standing against it. Sometimes we sort of, you know, let it get a grip before we say, oh, hang on a minute, how'd that get there? Carelessness, slackness. Bible says holding fast the profession of your faith without wavering. In other words, being alert, attentive, and at the moment the attack of the devil is there, how dare you, Satan? How dare you come against me? I'm a child of God. I'm standing in my covenant with the Lord God. I'm covered with the blood of the Lamb. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. No weapon formed against me will prosper. That Kerry brought out today. Every tongue that rises, how dare you stand against me, Satan? You come at me one way. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to shatter and splatter you. You'll run seven ways. And we stand in faith for our own protection, for our family, for situations in our lives. And do we do that diligently or not? And I really believe that where we've got to get to a point is if we're really hungry, if we're really thirsty, if we're wanting God to pour out His Spirit, pour out you. You know, the church has been praying that for as long as I can remember. All my life, I've heard that prayer prayed week in, week out, day in, day out, so many places. And God's gone, where are the thirsty? Where are the thirsty? We just want God to do something miraculous so we can sit there and get. And the church over the years has got caught up in all these different waves, you know, the Pensacola movement and the Toronto movement and this movement and that movement. And they've made gods out of the movements. But they've never been hungry. They just want the excitement of the event of the time. It's almost like a spiritual circus sometimes that we want to go to and get entertained or get the next little bit of a zap. And God's not impressed with any of that. God wants us, personally, everyone, individually. Before the corporate can function, the individual has to function. We all do. Because He's not looking for a movement to say, oh, I'll pour my Spirit out on that. No, He's looking for faith. And He's looking for thirsty. And He's looking for hungry. And I'm wondering if we're there. And you know, if we're diligent about what God's really talked to us about, and He says, pray. Pray. Pray for what? Well, firstly, we pray for all men everywhere is one of the things, you know. Whether we like them or not, and it's difficult sometimes. We need to pray for our land. We need to pray, if my people call by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their selfish, wicked or personal ways, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. And we really need to ensure that where our lives are at is not just so that we're, okay, God, I'm such a good person, you can use me now. If we get to that stage, pride, God resists the proud. He really does, but He gives grace to the humble. God, I'm so honored that You would choose me. Not false humility. I don't like the humility stuff. Oh, Lord, or a worm such as... Don't give me that religious bunk. But give me a real heart of humility that says, God, I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. I'm just so blessed to be a child. What can I do, Lord, for You? And I really have this sense of God's heart being broken because He's wanting, but He's not finding everywhere. And He sees the world going through turmoil and trouble and turbulence and everything that's happening at the moment. And the works of the enemy are just thwarting people. Now, I don't mix church and politics, but let me just say something I was told yesterday. Rod Cullerton, who's with the Australian Federation partly, which is now the offshoot of Family First, which has Christian roots, and the guy's full born-again Christian. He is doing everything he can politically to, quote, save this nation. That's his heart, right? But I heard this week from someone who knows him that he is just being hounded day in, day out. They'll see him drive his car and the tire will touch the white line. They'll pull him over and book him. And he's in court the next day, not 6 months or 6 months like everyone else. And they'll see him do something else and they'll give him a ticket. And they'll have him in court within a couple of days. And they're trying to stop him being busy for what he's doing and wasting his time in, you know. And the devil's just out and out scared of a committed Christian that is standing against him and completely doing everything he can to thwart his time. And I'm praying, well, God, in the name of Jesus, you make all of those eyes that are watching him blind. Yeah. Stop wasting his time because he's working for the kingdom of God. Even though he's standing up for politics and stuff in this nation, his first heart is to see righteousness exalt a nation. Yeah. And thank God for people like that. And we need more of them, and there are others around. But if you're going to pray for people, pray for God to work on the lives of those whose hearts are perfect towards him in that area, and bring down and open the powers of darkness in the others and open the eyes of the blind. There are many that are up there working in this nation and in its circles that are blinded by the system. Quote, even saying they're Christians, but blinded by a system. And we're going to stand in faith. The only way this nation will turn around is for us to walk as Jesus walked. In authority and power of the Holy Spirit. And understanding and knowing. We got family that need prayer. We need to be the first in line with a prayer and of faith that'll save the sick. Amen? We got others that we need to do what the Bible says. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. But we need to do it out of a faith based on passion, compassion and love the way God would. Because sometimes we've prayed prayers for the sick. I've done it myself. I've been so guilty and God has convicted me on it. You need a compassion and a heart of love because you're sick of seeing the devil working in the lives of men and women and thwarting them and bringing them down. So I just a couple of minutes left. I'd ask us to all pray. If you've got family that needs prayer, stand up please now. Or you need prayer yourself. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're standing in faith now, believing in your word. That Father says if we pray for the sick, they'll recover. And right now, in the name of Jesus, even though we're not physically in a position to lay hands on those that are being stood for right now, in the name of Jesus, we ask, Father God, that by your Spirit, as we speak healing out now, that healing transmits into the hearts and lives and bodies of everyone that is being represented right here now in the name of Jesus, for wives, children, fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, cousins, or any other relatives, neighbors or friends, in the name of Jesus. Father, we believe right now for an impartation of your power as we release it now to be transmitted into every person being stood for in representation now to see healing come, deliverance come, wholeness come, and restoration. And we speak it now. Satan, if you've got any influence in any of these situations and you're the cause of it, we know that in most cases you are, we nullify your authority in their lives in the name of Jesus. We break your hold, we bind your influence, and we release them from your grip right now through the precious blood of Jesus. And we claim that healing, we speak, go, and go into those lives now in the name of Jesus. Move. Thank you, Father. Thank you, precious Lord. Lord God, we want to see your people restored and made whole, just as you do, from a heart of compassion and love. Thank you, Lord. We receive it by faith and in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as we stand now together, we believe for our nation. We stand against the wiles of the enemy. We stand against the deception that he's brought into the hearts and lives of men and women across this land. We break that hold of that lying spirit and that deceiving spirit in the name of Jesus. And we command the blind eyes to be opened. We command, Lord God, that a heart of repentance would resurge into the lives of men and women through this nation. Father God, we bring the light into the darkness. We speak to the darkness and command it to dissipate now as the light is being shone. You must flee. You must flee because you cannot stay where there is the light of the Word of God. For every lit vessel, every lighted person, Father God, that is standing up in places of darkness, I pray now, Father God, for the darkness to just fall back in fear of the light of the glorious gospel of the kingdom of God and for the light of righteousness being expressed through those standing for righteousness, that it will exalt this nation. Father, we pray for men and women across this land that as they cast their votes, Lord God, you will give them insight, wisdom, and understanding as to what to do and how to vote because of the way this nation needs to be governed under the kingdom and the authority of God through righteous men and women standing firm and true for your cause. We thank you for it. In and through the glorious name of our wonderful Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray for everyone here that we've been lethargic or slack or concerning things. We know that you're not slack concerning your promises. But maybe, Lord, we've been slack in receiving and walking in them. And we repent today, Lord God. And we stand and say, Lord, we will not be slack. We will be diligent. We will have our senses exercised, Lord God, to know what is right and wrong and to walk in that which you've purposed for us. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Bless you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we tune ourselves into you to be thirsty as well. To hunger and thirst after righteousness. But Lord, we're not holding you back from doing what you want to do in and through our lives. So Father, we're starting to devour your word and to devour everything you have for us. And we pray, Lord, that as we open our hearts and as we cry out in hunger and in thirst for you, that Lord, you'll see fit to say, yep, let's go and pour out your spirit. Not just on us, but on all flesh. And we praise you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Bless God.